T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I was asked this morning, and you're the coach. I think you're better qualified to answer it.
Thanks.
Yeah, at least you're qualified. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
I didn't qualify.
Well, I was asked if you're going to do like anything you can to get Ukko Pekka-Luukkonen and go. And my answer was pick up the goalie that's going to give him the best chance to win a hockey game. Is that really what it boils down to?
Right now, that is probably the best answer I can give. We're going to go a game at a time, and you worry about winning the game you're playing.
All right. Right now, that's my answer. That's probably the answer. Anyway, Paul Hamilton joining us here. Sabres fall in overtime to the Boston Bruins. Paul, you'll excuse me. There was just a segment on ESPN's Get Up that is just...
His mind is blown right now.
I'm just shaken to my core about the scary truth Mike Tenenbaum has revealed about the Bills, which is...
Really?
Yes, yes. You know, one of these
things. So the thing with Lindy didn't even raid on your radar.
Well, I was over here laughing.
Yeah. Imagine that something happens and you just can't focus on anything else for a moment because of what Mike Tenenbaum said about the Bills. I'll just lay it out for you very quickly.
Very good comedic timing by Lindy there, though.
Very good for Lindy. And we'll get to the Sabres. There are scary truths about, you know, AFC contenders and Mike Tenenbaum's take, which I expected was the Bills are going to need to do something or their Super Bowl chances are over. And he did say that. But he said, unless the Bills get either Max Crosby or Trey Hendrickson, the Bills' Super Bowl window this year, it's over, and I'm just stunned.
Well, is their pass rush like the third best thing on the team right now?
It's not bad at all, and they got to get Max Crosby or Hendrickson or else it's all over, so I'm just shaken by that. Anyway, Paul.
Did Josh Allen retire?
Max Crosby, Trey Hendrickson. They need a top four pass rusher or else it's all over. Okay. Anyway.
Well, let me tell you what Lindy said after the microphones were off. He looks back. He goes, I think tomorrow I'll have to show up with my resume or Paul may not talk to me.
Right.
Well,
see, I try to bring your questions to the head coach, and look at what happened.
Well, he also answered it, I think, in pretty much the same way you had answered it yesterday, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. No, that's – and the reason I answered it that way is just because the way he handled it last year when you know, he decided in the last month that we're playing like we've got something to play for and each game is going to be treated like, you know, we put out the lineup that we think is the best lineup to win a hockey game. And it was James Reimer in that almost on a nightly basis, a guy that was 37 years old and wasn't part of the future of the Buffalo Sabres. So, you know, that's why I was pretty confident that that's, you know, what he's thinking. It's just like, today, this goaltender gives – now, could he say now, with what he saw from Lyon last night, that there might be a little fatigue in his game? And that might make him think, well, Ellis, in the next game on Saturday, might be the best chance to win a hockey game. That, you know, he's got to start giving Lyon some, you know, a little bit of rest from time to time.
It was a rough game for Lyon, right?
Yeah, I thought so. I mean, it was the same old thing, though, on the one goal, you know, he left in the crease there, got under him, and then the puck went through him and it was laying in the crease. It'd be nice if the guy standing next to the guy who scored the goal, and I've been saying this all year long, it's just the middle. Timmins did knock him down, but after he scored. Knock him down before he scores, and then he's got no chance of scoring. That's the point. Just knock him down. You know, cover the guy. You're standing with him. Cover him. You know, so in Montreal, you know, where two Sabres, Samuelson and Kulik, were standing there watching the guy. I mean, the goaltender has to know that you've got his backside, that, you know, if he overplays a play or something like that, that somebody's there on the back post or wherever it might be. And it was just slow to react. And he did knock the guy down, but he already put the puck in the net. It's just, you know, things like that. Yeah, Lyon didn't look good there. Do I want to save in overtime? It's not easy, and I keep saying that. The Tavares breakaway, not easy. Mm-hmm. But the Florida Panthers, when they're in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals and it's in overtime, they get that save. You know, the team that wins gets that save. You know, and, you know, right now the Sabres aren't getting that save. And, you know, some of their better players are making the big mistake that are costing them, you know, overtimes and hockey games. And, you know, that's you know, a bit of a problem too. Because, guys, we got to bottom line this. They played really well last. They came out of the chute and played really well. They got goalied. And they not only did they outshoot them 40-22, they severely outhit the Bruins. They severely outblock shot the Bruins. They did everything but beat the Bruins. And that, unfortunately, is the bottom line. You didn't win the hockey game, even though you dominated in every aspect of it, except on the scoreboard.
Yeah. Expected goals 5-on-5 is like 3-1 Sabres. Like they definitely mm-hmm. were the better team in this game. You know, Paul, it is, if you want to take an encouraging sign from that, you see some nice encouraging signs that if there's one silver lining I still might want to get to, it's like an overarching theme that they're staying afloat, if one would call this afloat, with Tage and Dahlin just still not being superstars, I don't think. Still not being at the top of
their
game.
Well, and they're at the scene of the crime on the overtime.
Right,
goal,
right.
So.
Yeah, and before Dahlin scored, he had put a wide-open chance over the net from the right in front, and right after that, he missed a wide-open net and shot it wide. You know, but he did finally come through on the power play to score, but that's when the next goal made 3-1 that I just talked about a few minutes ago, but they didn't blink. It was 3-1, and they still came back, scored a couple of nice goals in the third period. I liked what Krebs did at 3-2 after Doan scored. It was like a minute after Doan scored. Isamont, dumb, just stupid. Your team is ahead by a goal, but you decide, well, let me challenge Peyton Krebs, and Krebs wins the fight. Well, I look over at the Sabre bench. They're electrified by the whole thing. It's like, why did Isamont give Krebs that chance to really get everybody even more keyed up than they were? And sure enough, you know, Alex Tuch, again, that was a nice play by Dahlin, you know, on the wall there, sending Tuch in. Tuch scores, ties the game. But then Jordan Greenway at 18:43 of the third period takes a tripping penalty. You cannot take that penalty. And Lindy Ruff mentioned it after the game. He's been on them about those penalties in the last 5 minutes, but they killed it off. But you know what they did do, though, is Buffalo never had a chance in overtime. The two overtimes before this, they were the better team in overtime, had the puck for most of overtime, had glorious opportunities by the guys you'd want to have glorious opportunities, and then the other team got the puck and had their one opportunity and scored. This was different. They had to kill the penalty in overtime. Did a really, really good job. Samuelson was great last night. He really had a good game. And he was a big part of that penalty kill. But the thing is, while you're killing a penalty in overtime, you're not down in the other end, you know, putting pressure on or have a chance to get that goal. And they just had gotten the 4-on-4 to the 3-on-3. It's the face-off in Buffalo zone. So they have to start off with two defensemen, which I think is the right thing to do. So Timmins and Samuelson are out there with Thompson. They get the puck. Well, Thompson has to rag the puck while those two defensemen get off and they get the guys on the ice that they want. And that's when Dahlin wound up with the puck. And he said afterwards, he said, I know better. He goes, it's the ice is bad. Mm-hmm. You know, you've played the whole game on the ice. It didn't get cleaned. You're going 1-on-3, trying to make a play happen. And as Lindy said, the play is to just take the puck, bring it out of the zone, and reload, not try to go through three guys. And he knew it. He was very upset with himself that he did that. But that doesn't get you the 2 points. It only gets you the 1 point. And, you know, that's kind of the point there, that it just seems like, especially in the overtimes, where they're getting the point, which is good. That was a criticism I had before, is they're not getting these games to overtime to get the – I'm still going to call them the loser point. I'm sorry. But to get the loser point. But, you know, they're getting the golden opportunity to get the win and in the 2 out of the 3 games, and they didn't. And here they are. They've played the Boston Bruins twice in October and picked up 1 out of 4 points against a team coming in that had lost 7 out of 9 games.
Just putting this out there, for Lindy's 6 out of every 10 points, you go 1-0-4, that does the job.
Yeah, it does.
That's 6. So
it's going to feel annoying.
Another positive is what do we got here now? They have points in 7 out of 8 games.
Yeah.
That's a positive.
It's staying afloat.
You know, that I figured out the percentage in my article, and of course I can't remember. It's 6-something, like 650 something or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever I wrote in the article. That's a good points percentage. If you have that points percentage all year, you're in.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
It is. I kind of asked this yesterday a little bit too, Paul. Like, if they go to a lot of overtime games, though, they're going to have to figure out ways to win some of them. So do you feel like they are just kind of, like, there are these dumb mistakes? The Dahlin play yesterday, you're right. Like, he's got 1-on-3. It almost looks like he's going to do the right thing, which is just go to the wall and wait for your teammates, and then he pulls it back to try to toe-drag the guy. So is it just these one-off mistakes? Is there something they should be doing differently in 3-on-3? Do you feel like they just will eventually get the results if they play enough overtimes?
Well, the other two, they were pressing. And I want to see them go for it in overtime. I don't want to see them sit back. They were pressing. The other two was – the reason they lost is because the golden opportunities they set up for themselves, they didn't convert on. And they had the right guys with the golden opportunities. That's where they lost those games. And then they gave up one chance because when you go for it, which I think is the right thing to do, if you fail and lose the puck, you got an outnumbered coming the other way. So
and
that's
when
your goaltender has to make a big save.
And when you're the defenseman there, which Dahlin would know, he's the only defenseman out there. I don't know that Jack Quinn did anything wrong, but you're putting a guy in a tough spot to have to defend a 3 or a 2-on-1.
I think Quinn played that perfectly.
Yeah.
Quinn played that perfectly because he prevented the pass. That's the tap-in layup.
Right.
You're not going to be able to. So the same thing earlier in the game on Pasternak. Byram played that perfectly. He didn't give Pasternak that pass over across the ice for the layup. Now, that was just a world-class player making a move on the goaltender. He just did a little bit of a move to make Lyon think he was going to pass. It was such a slick play. But again, that was a turnover by McLeod, who was supposed to be their best two-way center, and he turns it over to one of the most gifted goal scorers in the world, and he comes down, and he got Lyon moving because he got him to believe that the pass was going to come across, and he snapped it in. And the first goal was because Jason Zucker was at his own blue line, decided to go cross ice, give the puck away. Darlene's not expecting to have to defend. Well, all of a sudden, he gives the puck away. Now Dahlin has to defend. He winds up tripping the guy, and Geeky scores on the power play. Nothing Lyon can do on that shot. He put that under the bar and next to the post, right where it connects. I mean, that was just a shot that was unbelievable. But again, he was wide open, and took the shot, and it was a turnover that led to the penalty that led to the goal. And we're not talking about rookies here that are doing these things. Jordan Greenway's penalty, it didn't cost them, but it cost them valuable time in overtime that they had to waste killing penalties that they weren't trying to score a goal in a three-on-three type of a situation. So the little things that happened in that game, that's what they have to clean up. And but I thought Quinn did exactly – that's the old thing, you know, the two-on-one. The defenseman takes the pass away, and the goaltender's got the shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And you need a save there. You need your goal – Lyon knows he's got the shooter. And, you know, he didn't do it. Same thing on Pat. But the Pasternak one, again, you got one of the most gifted goal scorers in the world coming down. And I just thought, what a move he put on to make everybody think he was going to pass. Even Byram thought he was going to pass it. You saw him move to block the pass. Well, it never came. Byram was where he was supposed to be. He, as I said, he played it perfectly. But, you know, the Pasternak one, I can understand. But this one, you know, goaltender's got the shooter. He's got to make a save.
Paul Hamilton, his appearance brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Thanks, Paul.
Okay, take care.
It is still a Football Friday. We'll get back to your calls on the Bills and the Chiefs. Football Friday, a big one this week. And brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, call the 8s. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Crosby's hometown fuel, game day ready since 1922. When we return, it's improving the game plan. We'll get to that for Bills and Chiefs. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Play on the far wall. Olivier turns it to the net. That's blocked. Loose puck picked up. Provorov with a shot and around traffic. Lyon snares that one.
Mike Schobin, the Bulldog. Mike Giardi, Sal Capaccio to come. Well, organically, I want to say. We just blasted away on Saber stuff for 25 minutes. Really asking, do you want to continue?
It felt good.
I
think the car ran pretty well.
Is it over?
Let's see what happens if we keep going.
I think I'm up for two calls.
All right. That should fit in this segment nicely.
Oh, that'll fit. Yeah, that should fit.
Yeah.
We'll see if it's good. We'll go for three.
All right.
Right?
I'm...
There has not been a triple in the World Series yet. Remember that one from last week?
Even with them playing actually an extra entire game?
I don't think there's been a triple yet.
They played two games the other night.
I know. There have been five games already.
Right. Even though
they could end up going 8 or 9 or 10 or 11.
2-2. Somehow they've played five games.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't think there's been... I've seen a triple.
Also, not to change the subject, they pitched it to Ohtani, it looked like.
Wouldn't you know it. Always pitch to everybody, I say. I mean, second and third, one out, game on the line, sure. Get the double play option there. But
start the game? I'm not walking you.
Now, did you watch the first at-bat of the game?
I didn't.
I think I've seen every pitch of this World Series, and I did watch all 18 innings.
That is tremendous. No, I was watching hockey and, like, dipping in, so I did not see the Guerrero home run live. I did not see the Dodgers
so big
get off to the 1-0 lead. I was watching the Sabres.
The 3-1 pitch to Ohtani. Now, you've got that box, and, like, we're also... wise, we know whether every pitch actually was a ball or a strike. Like, we're all just so, you know, well equipped. The 3-1 pitch to Ohtani is like a foot low strike, and the 3-2 pitch is right in there, ball. Like, maybe it was 2-1, 2-2, but whatever. Like, the guy needed to warm up, the umpire last night.
Right.
He needed to sort of get loose because there were two pitches in the first at bat that are as bad as you ever see by that box. Like, if you
right,
you know, subscribe to that, which I do mostly. I feel like it should be right. Baseball's using it. They're going to have robo umps next year off that box.
Right.
Like, they're going to be using it next year, so it better be
it
right.
It better be right.
Let's go to Adam here. Hi, Adam.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just wanted to chime in on the Sabres goaltending situation. Love to hear Bulldog and his son's take about the position. I used to play goalie in high school myself, and I know that goalies are creatures of habit. So, Mike, as you noted, it's kind of been interesting to see some internal inconsistencies in the Sabres' handling of the position. You mentioned trading Reinhardt for Levi. Then they go and sign UPL to a big contract with Levi waiting in the wings. Seems like UPL's the guy. Now, after last season, seems like there's some more question marks around UPL.
Mm-hmm.
Now we go and get Lyon. We go and bring in Ellis. But at this point, we have about five NHL goalies in the system, and Scott Ratzlaff has a .964 save percentage in Jacksonville right now.
Look at you. Look at you. Just slipping that in, Adam. Like, hey, I follow this stuff casually.
He's in the ECHL, right? Where yes. exactly is he? Where did you say he is?
South Carolina.
Yeah, he's okay. at Jacksonville in
Right.
ECHL.
Okay. Yeah.
So anyway, I'm just kind of wondering, you know, if maybe the organization might have lost some confidence in UPL, and if so, it's kind of hard to see him getting his confidence back in a Sabres uniform. Wondering if there might be a trade on the horizon, and if so, what you guys think of?
I don't think any of the goalies they have are tradable. Lyon to me might be the most, but that's not. It's not. I'm just going to stick with it. I don't think any of them are tradable. Luukkonen right now with the contract and his performance over the last however many months you want to go back since the season before last ended, really, is where we're talking about, because last year was uneven the whole time. Levi's yet to demonstrate he can play in the NHL. Maybe he has some value because of that. He was a very hot prospect at one time, and just because he's in a logjam in the minors doesn't mean he would have no value. But no one's trading for Luukkonen with that contract right now. The Sabres have to get it up and running, and if it doesn't work, they're stuck. And to me, Ellis is a waiver candidate. And I'd be stunned if they wanted to move Lyon. Lyon was brought here to be the stable veteran guy. So they're not going to move him.
No goalie almost ever has any trade value.
And Georgiev is not an NHL goalie. I don't care how many NHL games he's played. He's not getting near my net unless everyone else is vomiting.
We had conversations a summer ago about Hellebuck. But the Sabres had Levi. Would you trade whatever it would cost
right.
for Connor Hellebuck, the best goalie in the league? No. I think no. You could have said yes. I think no. I mean, I'm not trading for goalies.
If he realistically were ever available, I would have traded a ton of stuff for him.
Well, okay. Maybe he wasn't.
But I don't think he was getting
there it. Was a moment where maybe he didn't want to be there.
Yeah, he didn't get. Yeah, he did not sign right away.
I John mean, Gibson.
Took a pro. Yeah, that finally happened.
Finally happened. How's it going?
They're in first place.
Pretty good. But it's still October. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Who's trading for any of our guys, I think? No, no offense to the caller. Like, just I don't think. When do goalie trades happen? You get one or two in the summer?
Sure. Gibson got traded over the summer from Anaheim to Detroit. Like, but that happened.
I mean, otherwise it's like backups.
Right.
And you don't get goalie trades at the deadline.
No, not usually big names. No.
Right. Backups just.
But occasionally guys get, yeah. Luukkonen either plays great or he's resigned to being a backup here.
He's waived, potentially.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, possibly.
If your other guys are good, he's waived because you decide you don't need him anymore.
Right.
Yeah. It's a tough one, Adam. Thanks for calling. Here's Trevor next. Hi, Trevor.
Hi. I agree with pretty much most of what everyone's saying, except for this like narrative that UPL makes so much money that it like has to work with this guy. Like, we spend 6% of the cap on our two goalies. Like, if he doesn't work, throw him in the minors. Who cares?
I know, but it's don't forget it's Sabres money.
This guy in the net. If he stinks, he stinks.
But it's Sabres money.
Oh, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
I don't disagree with you in the long run. When I'm talking about this resolving itself by Thanksgiving, an option that's on the table is to waive him. If he can't play anymore and Ellis and or Lyon are both better, or Levi is the player of the month in November in the AHL or something, I would act. But for right now, they're going to try to get the best guy they have. I think the most talented guy they have. I think UPL is a more talented goaltender than Alex Lyon is. I think his that doesn't mean Lyon isn't playing better than UPL and won't continue Lyon's to outplay him, but they are going to try. Lyon is more accomplished?
What does that mean?
He's a
UPL accomplished.
Well, he had a good season. Lyon has never been even a full-time goalie ever.
Right. He's been a career backup, basically.
He to make the playoffs.
Yes, he did.
Yes, and a lot of backups have played games and helped their teams make the playoffs.
UPL's never helped this team make the playoffs.
Well, we're pretty well aware of that.
He can't beat you on that one.
He was 6 years old the last time they made the playoffs. So, yeah, that's right.
All right. Thanks, Trevor. Love the energy. Quickly, or not, a new name is on the Bills injury report. So you haven't seen it?
No.
Who would be the number one name to not want to hear is on the injury report?
Josh Allen.
Who is second?
James Cook.
Okay, it's not James Cook.
Joey Bosa.
Third. Bosa's already on the injury report because he was limited because he's tired.
Deion Dawkins.
Good. No. Did I ask this sounding like I meant this was the second most important Bills player?
Yeah, kind of.
All right, sorry.
Yeah.
It's debatable.
All right.
Prater.
Oh.
Right calf.
Oh, no.
He's 41, right?
That's the kicking leg.
That is so the kicking leg. What's plan B?
That must have happened during practice because I think we would have heard about that this morning or early this afternoon when McDermott was speaking.
By the way, also Shaq Thompson, hamstring. He's in the top 20.
He was going to have a vet rest day anyway. Like, he was only going to do the work, like the individual work.
But it says hamstring.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know that. I think that we expected him to be limited going into today. But I didn't know about a hamstring.
What's plan B? Waivers? Gotta be.
I don't know. Can't
be Bass. Can it?
Where is he now? Is he on?
He's still on IR.
And he's not.
There's been no mention of putting him in that window that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can just do it. Hairston happened fast.
Right.
Hairston was like, oh, was it Wednesday last week? Whenever it was. Oh, okay.
He's going to
on his way back. Then he was on the field.
Yeah.
So maybe Bass.
He's eligible to come. He's been on IR for more than 4 weeks, right?
The whole season.
Okay. They put him on right at the beginning of the season. I didn't remember that. Okay.
Prater kicked against the Ravens. He beat the Ravens.
That's right. I just thought they were holding back on putting him in IR for a little while. But anyway, he's through 4 weeks. Fine.
If he's healthy, it's Bass.
Right. If he's not, then they got to find another guy.
If it's not, then it's, get to know Jake Moody or somebody else. I don't know. Like, it's going to be someone else. Or it's Prater. Limited. What is even limited when you're a kicker? How much is there to do? You don't make all the kicks? Limited? Not good.
No. Somebody, they'll find somebody else to kick.
They will find somebody else to kick. And just like in the Ravens game, they'll be the new hero.
Sure.
It'll be...
Yeah,
I don't even know. Moody was with the Bears.
I'm just going to tell you. I'm just going to tell you right now. Going all the way back to the beginning of this part of the conference, you did a terrible job there.
I agree.
You scared a lot of people, including me.
That Cook was hurt.
That was really going to shake us up. Was hurt.
I know, but I did it in a way that gets you a raise when you're in this job. That people love the work. Loves it when you drag it out.
Let's take it to the break already. I'm done.
Give them some suspense. Don't give away the whole store right up front. Make them earn it. Make them work for it. Time spent listening, Bulldog. I can't believe you don't know this. Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal. We got our two calls in. Thanks for listening. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speed Test Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550. Gonna be that.
I don't think you're just going to know this answer. No offense. I know you know a lot, but I'm hoping that if by mentioning it early, it gives you enough time to find out. You have no idea what this is going to be.
Of course I don't. No.
How many NHL favorites last night won by two or more goals?
Oh, well, I know that.
Full complement of games.
I don't know the answer to that because I don't keep track of who was favored and who wasn't. But I did look to see how many games ended in one goal, and half of the games were one goal.
All right, that's a start. So no more than eight.
Right.
Favorites,
mm-hmm.
Probably more like four or five, won by two or more goals.
Yeah.
Last night.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just trying to help.
It
was plus 190. For the Sabres to win by two?
Yes.
I mean, Ohtani was minus 190 to get one hit. And guess what?
Yep.
Guess what happened?
I did talk to Sam about this at some point in the summer when you weren't here. Because I think I brought it up to you one day, and then you weren't here for his hit on a Friday. And I asked him, like, is there a way to track in baseball? Because it was summer, so it was baseball.
Same thing.
Is there a way to track, you know, how often the minus 1.5 team actually covers? And he said, and I asked him, I think, ahead of time, you know, like a day early, like just something I might want to bring up on Friday.
Sure there is.
And
count them.
He did not, well, yeah, there was not a database that he could refer to. But what he said was he went to some of his bookmaker friends and asked them about it and said, they are extremely reluctant to ever lay the 1.5 for a home team. It's one fewer at bat.
In baseball.
They're very reluctant.
Hockey wouldn't really matter.
Hockey doesn't matter. But I know just anecdotally without having studied it, because when I put in a hockey bet two or three times a week outside of the Tage Thompson business model,
yes,
I often land on because the odds are enticing. So I take a team minus 1.5 and they win by one. Like, it happens a lot. I miss a lot of those bets. And the team that I bet on won, but they just didn't cover.
Did I misread the sign on Sheridan coming here today? Or is that a is there a Tage Thompson TTBM Inc. office space?
I don't know. Not
next to Dr. Riad? Isn't there like a that was not you? That's not you? It's not going that well.
It's not
me. You're renting property to try to, you know, like you go in to buy a house or you go into Bulldog's new TTBM Inc. spot on Sheridan. And then he convinces you to bet hat trick bets on Tage Thompson.
There's no LLC or anything yet. No, it has not gone. Although somebody last night I heard from at least one person via Twitter, X. Should I just start calling it X?
Never.
Okay.
No one does.
Hey, I'm on board. You know, I'm like, okay, sorry.
Every time I looked at the hockey game, the Sabres were getting run over. Did I not catch the
Did you only watch the beginning? Because
I watched the first period and a part in the middle. I think maybe. I'm so bored.
They really, I thought they really rebounded from it. I mean, they had another one of these terrible starts, 11-1 or something, shots on goal to start the game.
What is that?
Against, I don't know.
Are they good? No.
No. No, they might be better than they've been.
What are they through 10 games? 4-6?
Yeah, 4-4-2. Yeah.
Like, is that good? Aren't they usually through 10 games like that or better?
They've been better than that. I mean,
they've been better than that, but they're rarely worse than that.
That's probably
nobody knows who they are yet.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that.
Okay. Well, anyway,
but what they have managed to do numerous times this season is, despite bad starts, sort of get off the mat, and you know they had two leads last night and couldn't hold them. 2-1 late in the second, 3-2 pretty late in the third, and
what went wrong?
Just couldn't get it home. The goalie let him down on the goal at the end of the second period was a bad, pretty bad goal.
Did you see my tweet with your son?
Yes, I did. The five hole. And there was another example. And like Owen will tell you, I think he tweeted this because he's at these games. He's going to every home game.
It's good.
And he's got a thread going. And, you know, I guess I'll just settle for I think he knows a little something about goaltending.
It's good.
He was tweeting, I think, with maybe Chad DeDominicis from Expected Buffalo. Because Chad was sort of like, I don't know, that second goal didn't look great. And Owen said, doesn't matter if he was screened, it should never go through you. Like a shot like that from the point, you should have that sealed up on the ice. Like, mm-hmm. If you don't see it, you should be sound enough that it's not going to go through you. And that puck, I think, went five hole on him. And you were talking with Owen because your daughter said something about Lions five hole, right?
I told you this already. She was on her way out the door because now she has practice at like 9 o'clock in Canada. So, you know, this is how we're living. And I don't even really mean we, because my wife who's doing all this driving. So she's got practice. They went to the Leaf game. She and, you know, my wife and daughter went to the Leaf game. And she just in passing, my daughter, she plays hockey. She in passing said something like, you got to beat him five hole. And she's a center. And like, okay, that's funny. You know, ha ha ha. My daughter has a take on the Sabres goalie. You know, great. And then last night I brought it up. And I mentioned it to my daughter. Like, you know, is that really, like, is that a thing? It's like, oh, yeah. So Owen had just tweeted about Lion. This is before the first goal or after. But the first goal, the guy just waits him out and comes around to the far post. So I just tweeted Owen to kind of be cheeky, like, oh, my daughter thinks five hole is the way to go. He's like, I just wrote an article about that. She's right. Okay, good.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Is he like the future? What is the future? So Luukkonen is here under contract. Lion has done well. Colton Ellis. Paul's over there today. He doesn't seem to know what they're going to do tomorrow night, or he thought it was Luukkonen, and then maybe it wasn't.
Right.
He's not going to be lying.
He thought Luukkonen had his own net, and then it turned out Ellis and he were sharing a net, I think is what I saw from Paul. But
What does any of this say, not to flatter them, what does any of this say about their plan? What is the plan? Is there a plan? Is the point is there isn't one, and that's not a bad thing? Like, what do they want to have happen? I think that answer is Luukkonen, because he's signed, like he's in.
Yep.
So what they would, best case scenario for the Sabres is probably that he gets hot, but they don't want to give him the runway. And they can't, because they have not made the playoffs in 15 years. Like, they can't just give a guy, no matter who he is. If Thompson went cold, he would sit. And that's also Lindy, right? Because Lindy on Kulik sounds like he sounded about Vanek. He's picking opportunities to rip him. Why? So I don't know. That's a separate point. But what is their vision here? Is somebody going to, like, they just are just sitting there, you know, with their hands over their eyes, hoping that somebody throws down a couple of shutouts and then it's his net? Like, what do they think?
I think that might be right.
Is that the best you can do? What should they do? You tell me. What should they do? Should they not give Luukkonen like the four of the next five games? Shouldn't they? Isn't this JJ McCarthy? Like, just give the guy that you give the best case scenario a chance.
It's so complicated. I think ideally they would like to get him. That should be the goal, is to get him up and running. But the playoff drought and the standings are, and Lyon playing as effectively as he has, despite this criticism of the tying goal late in the second last night.
He's been good.
And maybe even with the, considering the workload, better than a lot of us, I don't want to say than they imagined, but maybe even better than they imagined. I think he was supposed to be sort of a fail-safe if Luukkonen derailed. And they didn't even get into the season, and Luukkonen was injured. It's not the same as derailing. But now I don't think they want to give him, like, let's get him up and running. He's got to play well next time he plays to get that treatment.
Luukkonen. Well, okay, let's go then. So Boston's terrible.
If he gets the Boston game and plays well, then I think you get to a place where you could credibly say, all right, I'm going to put him back in and Saturday. We'll get this up and running. Yeah.
So Luukkonen plays, I think we're on the same page here. He plays tomorrow. He probably, I don't know, will he? He plays tomorrow and then Saturday.
If tomorrow goes well.
Right.
I wouldn't even say not a disaster. He's got to be good.
I got to win, though.
Sure.
If they lose 3-2, if it's last night, he doesn't come back Saturday. Like, they have to have, they got to get somewhere.
Yeah.
This is how it's different when the past comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sabres are such a slave to their past, their failures, that they can't really make optimal decisions in the present. Yes or no? I mean, Luukkonen was not good in Toronto. You could say he cost them the game in Toronto. Well, what do you do about it? Wave him? It's 82 games.
Yeah, no, you got,
you're in fifth or something.
No, he's got to be here. If he's backing Lyon up, that's fine. The guy in the sidecar has to be the kid.
It's not fair, but
it's not fair at all. But you got to hang on to him, Ellis, because you want to make sure that Luukkonen isn't going to suffer another mysterious lower body ailment or something. So you don't want, because to me, I'm not ready to trust Georgiev. I would have Levi up here before I would have Georgiev back up here.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's not that they are bereft. They've got another guy that has played NHL. They got two other guys that have played NHL games, one of whom I don't want to ever see wear their uniform again, in Georgiev.
Wow.
And Levi,
what did he do?
Is just
you?
He's just not. He's just not been good year over year.
Okay.
I just don't have any faith that that's going to be any different. So, You want to hang on to Ellis to protect yourself against another Luukkonen injury. Okay, too bad for the kid.
But
he's going to sit here. He's just going to sit here, I think, because I would play Luukkonen if he plays well. I would try to ride that. If not, I'm playing Lyon. I don't have time necessarily to experiment with Ellis.
I walked in here today so ready on the Chiefs, but, you know, here we are. Explain to me, and, you know, maybe you can't. That's fine. I'm not going to criticize you if you can't. Explain to me the path. No offense to the guy. Nothing, no judgment on him. He's one for one. Explain to me the path where Colton Ellis really matters. They all get hurt, and he goes in. He's like Norrin. Sorry, has the show ever sounded older? He goes like in Norrin in mode, and Norrin in this scenario doesn't get hurt, and the guy just sort of takes over the net, and we all laugh about it for the next decade.
Lukanen has to either get hurt or fall apart. But, and then Ellis is your tandem, and if he plays and plays well again, then maybe you think you've got like a Hamburglar situation on your hand. Like he played well once, he played well twice. Let's see what happens. Three, okay, and then maybe you start playing him regularly.
If Lukanen falls apart, your season is over. He's played enough where you have decided that he's not the same. So you've got the contract, and we're where we end up pretty much every year for the last decade. And the coach is done and just like, all right, we're going to play kids. And 8,000 people go to their games.
I don't know that the season is over if Lukanen falls apart. I think Lyon has been credible enough here that you could get by.
Then you're not giving him any sort of room to establish Lukanen.
Mm-hmm.
You're not giving him, I mean, don't we love life with three goalies? Isn't this the best? Patrick Mahomes will be here on Saturday. You know, I assume they come a day early. Yeah. Isn't three goalie life the best? So in this scenario, you are giving up on Lukanen before it's too late,
mm-hmm.
right? You're giving him how many dozen games? You're giving him some number of games where, like, you want to see what he is. It's over. It's Jover on Lukanen.
Mid-November, he's got to be up and running and take control of the thing.
Mid-November.
Yeah.
It's November 1st is Saturday.
I know.
He's got to play against Boston.
It's a couple of weeks, yeah.
So he's got to play against Boston. And if it's not, I think you have to win. But if it's not a disaster, whatever we said earlier, then he plays on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And then you keep going? Yes, because you have not been to the playoffs since Tyler Ennis scored your last playoff game-winning goal. Like, that's what you have to do. If the owner is alive, like he's sort of like, this is how he, mm-hmm. if you or I were this is how we'd be thinking. The urgency is like way up here. So I can't mess around. But I've got three goalies. So like necessarily I am messing around. This is what I'm doing. Ellis has got to go. He's not going to factor into this in a way that helps them do the thing they never do, which is actually be good. Unless you just decide, this is what a coach sometimes does in sports, but it's not going to happen this time. He's like, this is my best guy. I believe in him, and I'm going with him. Ellis, I don't care about contracts. Mm-hmm. I don't care about experience. This is the guy I want. Actually, Lino Lindy was, draft capital was all different, and there wasn't so long of a playoff drought. There's never been one in hockey like this. But then you had Baron, Norrin, and Miller,
mm-hmm.
and he got to, like, Miller's the guy. This is the guy I believe in. And then he broke his thumb, right, in 05, like
yep.
November of 05.
Early 05, yeah.
Marty and Norrin make it work. Miller comes back, and it's over. Like, that's
he just takes team. The net, and that's the end of it.
If yeah. you think, what is Ellis, 25?
Yeah.
He's been a professional goalie for 7 years. Like, if you think it's him, do it. If you don't, he's out. He's not going to do it.
He's not going to do that. And he also, I don't think, is going to go anywhere until they make a decision on whether Lukanen deserves to play two out of every three games.
But they made their decision on Lukanen when they signed him.
That doesn't matter.
It does. It shouldn't in our sort of fantasy world, but it does to them. Or no, you're saying it doesn't? It does. It probably does.
I think it matters in that they should be motivated to get him up and running and give him some runway, but it's got to be very small. I'm talking about an overloaded drug plane trying to get off the ground in Costa Rica runway.
Dumping like, gas.
Like
in
you
the
just
sea.
Do not have. I just compared Love the it. Sabres young goalie to an overloaded drug plane in Costa Rica.
Don't take it personally.
Put it on my tombstone. I don't think you can afford to spend too much time trying to get that running because of the contract. I think if he plays well, he plays, duh, he's got the contract. He is the most pedigreed, talented guy you've got, only by a little. I mean, Ellis was, I think, a third-round pick or maybe even a second-round pick himself, which is what Lukanen was. But you cannot be devoted to making it work because of the contract. And Lyon playing as well as he has complicates that. Having the third guy complicates that. I just can't, and the standings and the playoff drought, and I mean, just all of it matters in a way that they cannot sit there today and say, well, you know, if we put the time in with Lukanen and he's good by, you know, mid-season and can do what he did 2 seasons ago in the back half of the year, wow, we got to make that work. No, they don't have, they do not have that luxury anymore. They don't have that time.
When the season was over and then he got hot and they finished short.
So this can make you make bad decisions because you've got too many things that shouldn't be involved factoring into the decision. The contract, the backup, the third guy, the drought, you know, all the standing of the people involved, like the GM and the coach, like are they just never ever going to face repercussions if it fails again?
Yes.
So like they've got to.
They will not
get. They've got to. They don't have time for Lukanen to like have training wheels anymore. He's got to play. You already said it. I would expect him to play tomorrow. Myself, Lukanen, and I would even back that because I think it makes sense to get him going.
Who gives them their best chance to win?
I think Lyon does.
What a team. What a team.
But I think I gotta try Lukanen. And yep, like you said, if it works, he's going back in on Saturday. I don't know what their next game is after that. I've not looked into next week. Then
it's the Olympic break.
Lyon maybe plays the next one, and then it's right back to Lukanen. You know, I haven't mapped out where the back-to-backs are or whatever. I am not worried about finding a soft spot for Ellis to land at all at this point. If he plays, I think it's because someone is sick or hurt or Lukanen is terrible.
Why is he on the team?
Because they don't believe in Lukanen yet.
Their next game is Tuesday against Utah after Saturday, by the way. That's where it's been that long. Now there's a team called Utah.
Yeah. Is that here or in Utah?
It's here.
Okay. Just wanted to know if they were going on a road trip. So that's what I would go Lukanen, and if it passes the, you know, the smell test, then Lukanen again, and then Lyon. And then right back to Lukanen after that and see where we are.
You know what's the funniest thing ever?
And Ellis is the odd man out, and that's too bad.
In a dark way, what's the funniest thing ever? That for a minute, which is really like maybe 2 years, we thought Levi was relevant. Like, he's going to save us. Mm-hmm. We're watching Sam Reinhart win the cup. But, guys, it's okay.
We got a guy.
We got a guy who's 19. Like, it's just so bad. I mean, hope isn't a bad thing. But delusion is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not saying Lukanen or Levi or Ellis or anybody else can actually be good. This is goalies. How long does it take us to learn this? This is goalies. How is Alex Lyon good? He didn't show it in his career, like by numbers, but it happens. And he's not even on a good team, but he played well. He had quality starts. Like, all right, Alex Lyon. It's just, this is goalies. You can't just throw your hands up. I'm not trying to tell you anything you don't know already, right? I defer to you on most of this stuff. But just like, how can you ever take any of it seriously? Ellis, we're done. There's no path without injuries where he's actually like relevant. And he did play one game and we loved it and he was good and they won. And it was, you know, that's a cool thing. But Lukanen has rank and he also does not have much time. Now I got Paul on pregame show. He's like, I don't think he wants to be on the team anymore. Like, just what is the point? What are we trying to figure out here? What are we hoping happens? Get rid of one of them and just make your bet. Don't just sit there like the Sabres always do every year, right? How many years in a row? Every year the Sabres take us to winter and they sit there. Oh, well, I guess, you know, maybe Jacob Bryson is good. Maybe Clifton is good. Maybe Levi is good. Like, it's every year They start and then they do nothing, and it's over. And every year we know that a third of the way into the season, most of the playoffs is set, and they're just like, just sitting there, and nothing ever changes. Yeah. I mean, goaltending is included in that.
Yeah.
And how are they going to navigate the next month, which probably will go a long way toward determining how this is going to end? And if it doesn't end well, everybody's out, or no, and we're just going to sort of, you know, take another drink of whiskey and sort of make fun of it.
Well, I'm not as eager as you. I don't like having the three goalies, but I'm not worried about finding time for them all to play. Like, that's the biggest problem with having the three. And if I'm not forcing the third guy in and he's just here as like a break glass in case of emergency, then I'm all right. I mean, I don't know what, you know, who am I keeping off of the roster right now? They might want to activate Jordan Greenway. So I don't know. Maybe they got to make a move at some point and the three goalies will be a problem. But I'm sitting on Ellis until one of two things happens. I get Luukkonen up and running and he starts playing two out of every three and Lyon is his backup. Or maybe it's more of an even split. I don't care. Either way, those are my two goalies.
Right.
Or Luukkonen proves to not be up to doing that, in which case Lyon plays and I have Ellis back him up until that goes off the rails. And then if it does, I don't know what I do.
What's the... We have to break. I had no idea I had this in me. What is the earliest you're going to have an answer to either question?
I already said mid-November, Thanksgiving, maybe.
A month?
Yeah. I think Thanksgiving is maybe a good finish line.
Okay. Let's track it.
I will. I'll be here. I don't have any. I have time off. I have time off around the holidays, so I'm here every day until Thanksgiving.
Let's track it. Let's hope the season isn't over in, you know, a month. Right? That's kind of the goal.
Yeah.
All right. Mike Giardi, Chiefs Week, Boston Sports Report. We'll talk about the AFC, the AFC East with Mike. Always a great conversation. That's at 4, Sal at 5. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, 803-0550. This is WGR.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres Road Crew is back. We can't wait for this one. It's Nashville. It's an encore from previous years in Nashville, and it's going to be worth it, folks. You need to get down here for January the 19th. Now, that is a holiday Monday afternoon, and that's when we're having the Road Crew party. It's an afternoon watch party with fellow alumni, broadcasters. Sabres are going to be playing in Carolina that day. It's an afternoon game starting at 12:30 in Nashville, so we're going to enjoy the afternoon. And then the very next night, of course, the Sabres are visiting the Predators, so it's a great trip for the hockey lover, the party lover, in all of us, quite frankly. So check it out, sabres.com/roadcrew. Marty and I have it in Sharpie already on the calendars.
Dregs should join us. 100% Darren Dreger should join us in Nashville in January. Dregs, you were in the Stanley Cup final. Nashville, oh, yeah. Pittsburgh, and you enjoyed a little patio on Tootsie's. You guys had the panel up there.
It was fantastic. The outdoor patio overlooking Bridgestone. We had the three high stools sitting up there. Now it was hot. I mean, that time of year, it was warm out there. But the hospitality in Nashville is second to none. But you have to do it in short spurts, right? So you guys are only going to be there for what'd you say, like an afternoon?
Oh, 3 days.
Oh, okay.
Well, we got 3 days, dude.
That's debauchery. That's what that's setting up. That's what that's setting up for. Nah, it's a great city. My buddies and I were just planning this the other day. Not necessarily planning another trip to Nashville, but talking about how they've never been. I'm like, oh, you gotta go. I mean, it's just one of those stops on the sports circuit, not just hockey, the sports template that you should visit. It's a great town.
Marty, you want to hit them with Blue Jays
before we do real talk? Yeah, I'll start very easy. Going as far as possible as Nashville, we'll go to the Calgary Flames. It's not going well in Calgary. And after last year, 96 points, but not making the playoffs. What is happening? We talked Rasmus Anderson the last time we had you on, but I think the big name now is Nazem Kadri. Like, what's going on with Kadri? Could he be on the move? Because teams looking for a depth centerpiece could very well be in the market.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about supply and demand, and that's why the speculation is running as rampant as it is around the Calgary Flames and Nazem Kadri. And then you join the two, the fact that the Flames haven't played well enough. They're not doing well enough. And they've got these assets. So what direction is the organization going to go? If you want to look at the bigger picture and say, well, why wouldn't they put themselves in the best position possible for Gavin McKenna or a high draft pick? Okay, well, then at some point this year, you've got to move Rasmus Anderson, and you have to consider trading Nazem Kadri and some of the other pieces around that organization. I just think it's too early for any of that. You know, Naz wants to stay in Calgary, his term remaining on his contract. You know, you can appreciate why the Vancouver Canucks would have interest. They've been looking for a two center for a couple of years. Likewise for the Montreal Canadiens. I'm sure Brad Treliving would love to bring Kadri back to Toronto. That's the most unlikely of the three scenarios that I've just described from a Canadian perspective. But until Craig Conroy, you know, goes to Nazem Kadri and says, hey, the direction of this team is such where we're looking at the draft in June. You know, are you willing if we actively pursue the idea of trade? And that's not going to happen anytime soon. And look, you know, Kadri's on the cusp of his 1,000th NHL game. Mm-hmm. Everyone around Nazem wants to respect that milestone. But if Calgary is still floundering around Christmas, you know, then I think that the speculation turns real and the considerations of a trade also become real.
Sabres and Bruins tonight, and Buffalo's 4-1-2 in their last seven. The Bruins have two wins in their last three. It's been very up and down for them. Anything new on the front of either of these teams? Obviously, from Buffalo's standpoint, people are always looking at Alex Tuch.
Yeah, not really. Ongoing conversation. And I know that sounds like, you know, just simple lip service. That's what it sounds like. But that's the reality of where they're at. And that cuts both ways. You know, there's still a mutual interest in getting something done, but that can change, right? And if the numbers don't add up for Alex Tuck and his side, meaning it's not the perfect fit financially or term-wise, well, then why wouldn't Alex Tuck wait? But that doesn't have to be ominous. You know, that can change very, very quickly. It really can. You know, as I'm talking, I'm thinking about the conversation I had with Andy Scott, who represents Thomas Harley, earlier this week, just prior to Harley getting that big extension, right? Mm-hmm. And they'd been talking for a length of time, and then talks picked up probably 2 weeks ago. And then I think it was like the morning of, maybe Tuesday or Monday morning, where the Dallas Stars reached out and said, okay, we're ready to get this deal done. And they closed the gap. Well, maybe that happens between Buffalo and Alex Tuck, but they're not there yet. They're not. I think that everybody wants to let the season breathe a little bit because there's been a lot of positive around the Buffalo Sabres. It's a tough season to start. Look around the league at some of these teams that are struggling mightily, and you're looking at the standings and going, okay, well, I want to fast forward 15, 20 games and look at the standings again. Mm-hmm. But you can't just focus on the negative. You got to look at the positive. And Buffalo, for me, is one of those positive storylines at this point of the regular season. So I think in doing that, you build a little bit more patience into certain conversations and negotiations.
But what about Pavel Zacha with Boston?
Boston? Anything from the Boston side?
Yeah, what about Zacha?
Yeah. So I think, I think everybody can appreciate why you fixate on certain teams. We just talked about Calgary and the Calgary Flames. Well, if Calgary's off to a good start, we're not talking about the possibility of Craig Conroy moving, you know, arguably his top center. And Zach is a little bit more curious for me because he's a centerman, and Marco Sturm on a lot of games has him playing on the wing. And he doesn't look happy about that. And I think that in part, when you then revisit history, like teams call on players all the time at varying points of a 12-month year. Hey, would you consider moving this guy? Now, we know that Don Sweeney of the Bruins had conversations with at least one club, maybe more, and those clubs asked about the potential availability of Pavel Zacha. All right. So now we're revisiting something that happened months ago. But that doesn't mean that Sweeney has this guy on the block. It's just because the Boston Bruins, yet again, are floundering. And people are going, okay, well, they've got to do something. You know, they tried one more time to plug holes in the offseason with pieces that they brought in with some experience. And it just doesn't seem to be working. So I think that's where most of that Boston speculation targeting Pavel Zacha comes from.
So the Colorado Avalanche have Cale Makar can sign an extension on July 1 next year. Marty Natchez can sign an extension in January 1st because he's a UFA next summer. And now, you know, you mentioned Thomas Harley signing his deal. Logan Cooley signed his deal as well, 8x10. So is there a lot of business that Colorado is trying to get done or at least get ahead of to make sure that, you know, their main guys are going to be part of this team for a while.
Right. And I think you're talking about Marty Natchez, obviously, right? Yeah. And it's a problem in Colorado because you do have Cale Makar looming. And nobody is going to step in front of Cale Makar. I mean, how can you? And then you're slapped in the face with the reality of what the Colorado Avalanche felt like they had to do with Mikko Rantanen. Right. And it's not like there was a breakdown in that negotiation. It just didn't really move too far along because Calgary knew, okay, well, we're not that far away from having to extend Cale. And that's going to be our big ticket guy, Cale Makar, Nathan MacKinnon. The Avalanche more or less are a budget team. You know, as the cap goes up, I don't think Colorado is going to be a cap team moving forward, which is a little bit of a head scratch, but that's their prerogative. So where does Marty Natchez fit into all of this? And is he willing to, you know, embrace the idea of a culture extension? And you know what that means, right? You leave a little bit on the table so that you can get the next guy done and the next guy. Well, maybe yes, maybe no. You know, Kaprizov wasn't willing to do that with the Minnesota Wild. So why is there a guarantee Natchez is going to do it in Colorado? And I'm not being critical. I mean, that's entirely up to the individual player and how he sees his fit and what he sees his worth to be. But it's a bit more complicated in Colorado than with a lot of clubs.
You think Natchez is a $10 million player, though, plus? Duffer, what do you think?
I do. I think he is. Yeah.
In today's world, sure.
I do. Yeah. Okay. Because here, you know, I'll be quick when I talk about this. You just mentioned Logan Cooley. We talked about Harley. You've got Lane Hutson. All of these long-term deals. But even though you're looking at Logan Cooley and you're going $10 million, and then you're looking at Thomas Harley at a shade under 10.6, yeah, the math shows that these young guys get their money early in their contract, big money early in the contract. But who's to say by year four, maybe year five of that deal, Thomas Harley is an incredible bargain with the salary cap elevating. I mean, that has to be the thinking in Dallas. That has to be the thinking in Utah. And frankly, I think the Montreal Canadiens got Lane Hutson an absolute steal of a bargain. Yeah. So it's all cap related in some way, shape, or form.
Well, just like the Bruins did with Morgan Geeky this summer. Like it's a home run deal for sure. here's one for you.
Uh-oh.
Alex Steen still planning, interested in taking over as GM of the Blues or getting cold feet?
I don't. No,
I forfeit my candidature and I'm moving on to something else.
Yeah. Well, what I would say is Doug Armstrong is never afraid to take the bat off his shoulder.
Right.
Ever. And what's going to happen in the near future if the St. Louis Blues don't right the ship is he's going in there swinging. And we're not that far removed from the last time he felt like he had to do that. It was a year or two ago, we went into the dressing room and literally said, I don't care what your contract says. No move, no trade, whatever. I'm going to figure it out. You're going to get platooned out of here, or you're the buddy sitting next to you in this dressing room is getting punted out of here. We're not going to sit back and continue to invest in experience if you guys aren't going to pull your weight. I mean, that's just a general manager who gets business done. So that message is probably going to happen before Alex Steen needs to worry about it.
What's and just because I want to bring a little bit of a spotlight and maybe a negative way in Toronto because I got my Jays hat, everything's good. But you know, we were there, Duffer and I, Saturday night, and saw Craig Berube talk to the media, and that was just a few days after Anthony Stolarz called out his teammates, and Berube called out his teammates. And then they lose to Columbus in a bad way last night. Do you anticipate some shaking up, some moves maybe coming out of Toronto as they try to get out of this downward spiral a little bit?
Well, some of it could happen internally here, Marty, right? They've got Scotty Lawton, who's not that far away from returning. Could be as early as this weekend. That might be a stretch. If not, early next week. You know, he'll help. But then they've got to make a roster decision. Right? Are they going to waive somebody? Are they going to send the rookie Easton Cowan to the Toronto Marlies? You know, they've got David Kampf, who's in the American League right now. And then a big question mark is in goal. You know, not to pile on Caden Primo, but that level of goaltending against Columbus Blue Jackets just wasn't good enough. And they were poor defensively. But by and large, they felt like they played pretty well. I don't know. Maybe I was watching a different game, you know, but they felt like they were playing pretty well. They could be spinning it, trying to stay under the umbrella of the Toronto Blue Jays, because once the World Series is over, you guys are very familiar with the Toronto market. Once the Blue Jays have hoisted that trophy, then the spotlight shifts back to the Toronto Maple Leafs. And the fan base may not like what they see, but I do think that there's some internal help. Joe Wall is around the corner, as I mentioned, Scotty Lawton, so maybe they get some help there.
Well, I predicted Blue Jays in six. Marty picked the Dodgers. Who did you pick?
I picked the Blue Jays just because I allow myself to be a fan at certain times of the year, and obviously with the Canadian team here in the World Series, I'd go that way. I'd like it to get done in six. Because seven, I don't know. I don't think I could handle game seven. The way they played game five, I'm with you, Duffer. The way they played game five, I think they win game six.
Thank you, Mr. Dreger.
Okay, guys, have a good one.
Our hockey insider from TSN. He's not the youngest fan, but we're focusing on young Sabres fans right now and who might enjoy exclusive ticket offers, fun gifts, and special event invites. You can sign them up now. For the Sabres Kids Club, visit sabres.com/kidsclub to join in on all the fun this season. A wrap to Sabres Live and our poll question. Most hated Bruin for you.
Sabres game night tonight. They'll be playing the Columbus Blue Jackets at KeyBank Center. And we check in with our Sabres conversation Tuesdays at 8 o'clock from Lindy Ruff to Seth Appert this time around. Seth Appert joining us on the Wester Hotline to chat about tonight's game with the Columbus Blue Jackets and all that's going on with the Sabres as well. Seth, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Thanks for taking some time today.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Ooh, we got a bit, might have a bit of phone trouble. We're going to have Joe pick you up and see if we can get that squared away. Sabres and Blue Jackets tonight. The Sabres sit outside the playoff picture, but with a chance to, well, it's tough to guess the standings tonight because every team plays.
Yep.
It is the frozen frenzy. There are staggered tee times every, or tee times, listen to me. Well, what can I say? Golf's on the brain.
I mean, it's been freezing out. I mean, it's not like we've been playing like every day here.
I've got golf league tonight. What can I say? It's on my brain.
Oh, golf league.
But that said,
golf league with the game on in the background?
That's the plan. That's the plan. But Sabres and Blue Jackets tonight, part of the staggering of face-offs. I almost did it again.
You almost did it again.
Staggering of face-offs on the frozen frenzy. Seth, good morning. It's Jeremy and Chell. Thanks for taking time today.
Good morning, guys. Sound better?
Yes, sir. Much better. Seth, a lot going on, of course. Game tonight. Maybe the biggest news right at Sabres.com, the front page, is anticipation for Michael Kesselring's debut. So does that look like it's the kind of thing that might happen tonight? I mean, Kesselring, we're waiting to see him. He had the injury, and now, you know, 9-10 games into the season, maybe it's time to get Kesselring in the lineup for the first time.
Yeah, we're excited about that. We'll see how morning skate is and how he's feeling. But, you know, that was a big off-season acquisition for us, getting him and Doan. Doan has been outstanding and adding so many different things into our lineup, offensively but also physically. And, you know, we're excited to get Kesselring into that decor. Decor's playing real good as it is right now. And adding a player of his caliber, his size, we're very excited about. And I think there's a good chance of that tonight.
What have you learned about Kesselring since acquiring him? I mean, like the scouting report would have been there, reasons to like him, to bring him in, and he's not yet played a game. But, of course, like you guys would be getting to know him at this point, his makeup, what he's like. What have you learned about Kesselring?
You know, I think that, what you'd heard, the due diligence on his character checks out in spades, you know. And so we know how talented he is and how well he moves, how athletic he is for a guy that's 6'5". But, you know, you're hoping that the due diligence is correct on the character. But with Kesselring and with Doan, it's just in flying colors. Great teammates, all team, all the time. Physically committed, hard-nosed players, strong work ethics. And so just guys that add to the vibe in the locker room, that add to the toughness and to the collective togetherness of the team. So I can't say enough good things about both those guys right now.
I wonder, he has a big shot, we know that. And your blue line has a lot of offensive ability. This was actually, I remember we asked Lindy about Doan for this, Seth, how, like, is there more offensive upside than what people saw in Utah, and so far that's proven true. What about Kesselring? Because he's got the big shot and, you know, 7 goals and 17 minutes a night. Maybe there's a thought that there could be a little bit more there with more minutes and more opportunity.
I think there is. I think he's just scratching the surface on the kind of NHL player he can be. I mean, he's only been, you know, a full-time NHL player for just a couple of years now, and players that work as hard as Kesselring does and put as much time into their game in the off season, in the film room, those guys usually continue to grow their game. And so I think there is upward growth both for him from a defensive perspective and an offensive perspective. And we need our decors. We've seen recently guys like even Samuelson, who is very good with the puck. He's more known with the defensive aspect, but we need our decor. We have a mobile, big, athletic decor, and Kesselring is just another one of those guys, and we need our decor to be involved in our offensive attack.
Would you say over the last 5-6 games, that what fans have seen, this is what you guys want, how you want to play? And again, some of that's without one of your biggest acquisitions in Kesselring, and we'll see when he gets back, but how have you felt about the team's overall play really since that first 3-game slide?
Yeah, the last 6 games have been better. I mean, we still think we have a lot of growth to do. You know, we didn't start the season how we wanted to, but now 4-1-1 in our last 6, we felt that we should have had 2 points in Toronto. You like getting a point on the road, but, you know, you're up 3-2 in the last 10 minutes of that game, and those are games that, you know, we need to keep learning how to close out those hard-nosed games on the road. So But I think what we've done a really good job in the last six games is we put ourselves in position to win all six. Even the game in Montreal that we lost was 1-1 in the third period. So I think that that's a good thing. You know, that you need to keep doing that. You need to play in such a manner with your structure and your talent and your competitiveness that you continue to put yourself in position to win games in the third period. The more times you do that, the more points you can accumulate over time.
Seth Ebert joining us on the Sabres and Blue Jackets tonight. Looking at the lines from yesterday's practice and how things are working out, Jiří Kulík has, young players still coming along, but, the progress you're hoping to see from him, you've spent a lot of time with Jiří Kulík, so where would you say his game is right now and how have things been coming along as he's, you know, kind of taking the lessons of the young season?
I think that early on, he wasn't totally up to speed. He wasn't probably as sharp those first few games as we saw the last 30 or 40 from last season. But I think that these recent games, he's starting to look more like himself. When he's, you know, he took all the hard matchups last year. When you're playing with Tage, you're going to get the hard matchups. And he did a really good job with it. And he had a great summer. He got stronger. He got more powerful. And when he's playing his best, he's driven by his legs. His legs, Michael Pekka and I would tell him in Rochester, his legs are his moneymakers. And not only from an offensive perspective, but from a defensive perspective, with how quick he can close out plays, how strong he can back check. He's just such an explosive and powerful skater that when he is skating and attacking the game, he's a really, really good player, and he's been doing that more and more the last four or five games.
Seth Ebert with us. Seth, the team started 0-11 on the power play, and since, I mean, now you're top 10 on the season. To my eye, is more of the play running through Benson on the power play? Not that Dahlin and Tage are not still very involved when it's moving around, but some of those different personnel groupings that maybe you have this year compared to last year, because it feels like Benson has taken a bigger role on the man advantage this year.
Yeah, yes. He missed those first games too, right? So, I mean, we've had some key players out early. But yeah, he has. And when you're an opponent's penalty kill coach, what's the first thing you're going to do when you're playing the Sabres? You're going to figure out how to try to stop Dahlin and Thompson. You know, those are our two big guns. And so we have to go into that understanding that and knowing that then other things need to start opening up with that. And I think that we've done a better job, of winning loose puck recoveries. So Doan and Benson are really good at winning battles and at solving pressure in small areas. And that's what loose puck recoveries are. And Zucker's good at that as well. So I think what we've done a better job of in the last six games than the group did maybe in the first three is we've come up with more loose pucks. So we've extended possessions. Everybody can be a good defensive player, a good penalty killer for first 15, 20, 25 seconds when you're fresh. But if we can extend a possession, say you get a shot on goal and the puck bounces in the corner, if we can go win that and solve pressure and extend that possession, now you might keep guys on the ice for 40 to 50 seconds. That's when mistakes start happening and that's when you take advantage. And I think that the go-ahead goal the other night in Toronto was a great example of that. We extended the possession. Tage contested a clear. We kept the puck in. We solved the pressure. And then, Tage needs to find other ways to score on the power play than just the one-timer. That was a great example of it. He was at the front of the net collecting a rebound and scoring in that manner, and all goals count the same way.
Seth Ebert with us. Was all of that, because Norris, it seemed like, was in line for a big role on the power play before his injury. Is any of those pieces been a surprise to you? Maybe Doan for this, that someone that could contribute in that way on the top power play unit?
Yeah, I think that you don't totally know when you don't have a player. So, yeah, I think we looked at Doan as a power play player. Was that going to be first unit, second unit? So I think that you could say that's a bit of a surprise. We liked our power play in preseason. I think we were 24-25%. We liked our power play against the Rangers. We just didn't score, but we missed a couple wide open nets. We missed a backside one-timer that was an open net. And so the whole camp was spent with Norris running the half wall and building chemistry that way. Well, that went out the window, unfortunately. And so I think games two and three, we are trying as a group, as a coaching staff, as a group of power play players, trying to figure out, okay, we don't have Norris now. What is it going to look like? And I think it could took a couple games to kind of get our head wrapped around what's the best grouping of players for both units, because Owen's unit has been very good as well, with Jack Quinn scoring a huge game-winning goal in the third period against the Red Wings earlier last week.
Seth, how tricky is it with three goaltenders, especially when the one that's kind of coming in late here off of injury is the guy that in the past has been the team's number one? And maybe what you see out of Colton Ellis and his potential, how is it kind of managing all of that right now?
Well, I mean, you know, that is that's harder for sure, but you know, certainly that's a Lindy and Mike Bales more of handling it than our assistants. But you know, I think that it's a good problem. I think that's what we have to look at it. Would you rather have three goalies that you like or none? And right now we have three that we really like. Alex Lyon has played outstanding to start the season. We all have a tremendous amount of belief in Pekka Luukkonen. And now we've acquired Colton Ellis, and he came in and played really, really good in winning that game against Detroit. So having three goalies you like is way better than not having any. And right now we have three that we really like. I have to manage that, and the best way to do that is just through open communication, and I think Lindy and Mike Bales do a great job of that.
Talking with Seth Appert on the Sabres ahead of tonight's game with the Columbus Blue Jackets. Seth, thanks very much for the time, and best of luck tonight.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Seth Appert of the Sabres, assistant coach of the Sabres tonight. It's Bills night.
Bills night in
at KeyBank Center.
Yeah.
And I believe I saw Stevie Johnson will be there to bang the drum.
Okay.
It's Chiefs week. We're rallying behind our friends in Orchard Park as they prepare to host their rival from Kansas City with Bills-themed game elements and appearances throughout the night. Let's make it a one Buffalo week. That's what it reads at Sabres.com.
Will there be a Bills-themed hot dog then? Probably, right?
Sure. 6:45 face-off, by the way.
Yeah, it's strange.
Love that. Yeah. Every night.
Yeah.
Why can't I give me 6? Give me 6:30. People got to get home from work, maybe. All right.
6:30 even gives you usually enough time, right?
Sure.
And 90 minutes. And does grab something to eat.
Does 6:45 really mean 6:45, or does it mean 6:52? But 6:45, I'm into that.
It probably means 6:52.
We'll find out. 803-0550. Plenty of Bills chatter here on the show. Howard picks the Bills. On the other side, I have a fun, very, very brief game, and I don't know how successful it will be.
Okay.
But would you like to play a fun little game?
Yes, absolutely.
It depends on whether or not you have seen a thing.
Okay.
Did you see which NBA team last night tweeted everybody eats?
No, I did not.
Let's play the game.
Come on.
Let's play the game.
We're now crossing into other sports.
Yes.
The Chiefs are already doing it.
The Chiefs say everybody got it.
Basically the
same
thing.
Now, there's an NBA team that won last night and shot all the players and the points they had and a fork and plate and knife, and it said, everybody eats. Joe, the NBA fan that you are, I want you to play the game here. You have not seen who did it.
I didn't see who did it.
All right. Who might have tweeted? What social media manager would have tweeted from an NBA account, everybody eats?
Is there a reason I should know what team it is?
I mean, there might be something to be said about the everybody eats concept.
Okay, wait. Let me start with a guess. Should I think of a tie-in with the Bills?
No.
Because they've been doing this Toronto relationship
No.
It's not the Raptors.
It's not the Raptors, no. Okay. I'll take that off the table.
Okay.
That's a fair context-based guess. This is just,
right.
Hey, look, another sports team is rocking everybody eats.
Because then I would think the Bills are marketing it into other like ventures that they have. Like the Amherst are going to start saying everybody eats soon.
It's going to be a restaurant soon.
Right. Okay. Maybe it should be a restaurant. It's a good restaurant.
It definitely should be.
If Josh Allen owned a restaurant in Buffalo, which might happen one day, wouldn't it be called Everybody Eats? All right. The way the team is constructed, is it the Warriors?
No.
Is it? I'm trying to think why I would. Yeah, why would it be the Heat?
No,
because they have Heat culture on their court. All right. What about?
Is there a team that has a superstar they've tried to stop putting the load on?
Is it the Spurs?
It is not the Spurs.
I like the path you're going down. I want to go with that.
Bucks? They had players score 17, 18, 16, 14, 10, 15, 12, and 21.
Whoa.
The Nuggets?
No.
That would be funny.
To just guess my own favorite team would have been a reason.
I feel like maybe when I tell you this,
the Knicks,
we'll decide how good the game is. No.
How do I get to this answer?
I know.
How do you get to this answer?
I'm looking for the path. What's the path here? The path is...
this payoff. Maybe great or maybe not.
Who's on Chicago?
Nobody.
Right.
It's the Bulls.
Oh.
The Bulls?
Yeah.
The Bulls.
I thought you'd get there because of that exact answer. Who's a team that has nobody
on it?
No one I've ever heard of.
Yeah, that was about maybe.
I just thought you would get there.
Yeah. Owen got there, and then I knew nobody on that team.
Right.
That anybody knows.
Everybody
needs to know.
They tweeted
everybody
last night.
That's not good.
It's fine.
Right? The team that has nobody on it is not the team you want to be emulating.
Well, they're
when you have Josh Allen,
they're emulating you.
That's not good either.
Right. Well,
they don't have Josh Allen. I want the Warriors to emulate the Bills.
The thing that I wonder about last night, thank you. This game did have the payoff.
That was good.
Who's on Chicago?
The Bulls.
Nobody. That's who did it. Anyway, the thing I wonder about this game for Bills Chiefs is kind of like a fun little note. Like, listen, we all have our fun with everybody eats and you can have a hat. And it's fun when they win, whatever. They can win however they want. I don't think there's any problem with spreading the ball around. They used to do it all the time when they were awesome in different years.
Uh-huh.
They've always kind of been a spread the ball around kind of team, even with Diggs. But last night, I think there's Tracy Wolfson on the sideline. No, sorry. Tracy Wolfson will be here at the game Sunday with CBS.
Yep.
Laura Rutledge, who's there last night on Monday Night Football? Whoever it is, Mahomes has asked about everybody eats. Everybody got to eat.
Yeah.
So my question is, when it's Bills Chiefs in a game, will there be competing sideline reports? All right, let's go over to Buffalo sideline where it's everybody eats, and now over to Kansas City where it's everybody got to eat.
It's all so ridiculous.
It's both all teams. So ridiculous. It's a little bit like Happy Gilmore, screw you, I'm playing for Chubbs. You know, like, oh, yeah, all right. Anyway, it's fine.
The Bills in that scenario would be Shooter McGavin because they called it first.
They did call it first. Listen, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. It is kind of fun that it's now broken contain. You can't have it anymore. You've given it to the world. The Chiefs are claiming it. The Bulls are claiming it.
The Bulls.
I need the Sabres to win tonight and tweet it. Let's do it. 6-0 against the Blue Jackets with six different goal scores.
I want a new phrase for the Bills. We need to start working on it. We need to help them out. They need something new, better.
All right. Workshop your next slogan.
It's got to be Josh related. Josh has got to be involved. Everybody eats. Everybody eats 6 yards to wide receivers.
Total air yards to wide receivers in that game against the Panthers. They won by 31. They won.
Everybody eats. If they'd been calling the Diggs offense everybody eats, that was more appealing to the eyes.
It's also the whole concept. It's great. We would love it back. In reality, they kind of don't have it now. What they have now.
Well, that's the thing, right?
That's the thing. Like when they had that last year, it did work pretty well. And right now they have it where who eats? Cook.
Yeah.
And sometimes another pass catcher if the matchup is right.
I just think it very often, the phrase, the mentality, it gets misconstrued as an advantage. We had someone tweet us earlier when we were talking about Gabe Davis and how, like, how does Davis have more 20-plus yard catches in his last year with the Bills that didn't even go that well than Coleman has in the last two? And, like, well, one of the reasons I mentioned is, well, Gabe had Allen and Allen made him look better. But so does Coleman, so does Elijah Moore, so does Curtis Samuel. And someone tweeted in, like, I think what we forget about Gabe Davis, he was operating in an environment where Diggs was dictating coverage. And with that is right to me. Like, it was easier for Gabe Davis, as a Bills starting receiver that ran down the field without prime separation skills, it was easier for him because the defense thought they knew where the ball was going. They thought it was going to Diggs. That made it easier on Gabe Davis. And I think the biggest misconstrued part of everybody eats is that the defense not knowing where the ball is going is somehow an advantage for the Bills. That, to me, is backwards. If you have one prime guy that they think they have to circulate coverage around. That doesn't make it harder on your other receivers and your other pass catching options. That makes it easier.
The other way to look at it is, you know, we're talking about Allen's able to go who's open, who's open. And I think one other potential side effect of this is, on a given snap, who's going to be open? I don't know. I used to know who was going to be open all the time. Now I don't know who's going to be open. And you might read the progression and take your best shot, but it's third and five. Who's going to get open on this play that I need to get open? Bills night at KeyBank Center. Bills Mafia is taking over. Here are some of the highlights. Stevie Johnson is the in-arena host. Photo ops, the Buffalo Stamp, the drumline, Buffalo Stampede drumline is there, 6:15 to 6:45.
Okay.
The shout song is the goal song tonight.
We'll take that out for a spin, huh?
The shout song is the goal song. There will also, according to Sabres.com, a tweet about this, be a train horn played.
When?
I don't know, but they're going to play the
like
train
when there's
horn.
There's a penalty, maybe?
It says, Bill staples to KBC such as the shout song as our goal song, the train horn.
Yeah.
Special appearances and more.
Interesting. Maybe when a penalty gets taken and the power play is beginning, train horn?
I don't know. Maybe they play the goal song and instead of a goal horn, it's the train horn? I don't know. Hmm. I think the train horn is probably best used right before a power play. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, let's go.
Or right before like a big draw late in the game.
Or when they show Rashid Shaheed on the Jumbotron because he's brought into town for Bills night. No, I don't think that's going to happen. All right. Howard picks the Bills on the other side. More of your phone calls, 803-0550. It is, of course, Chiefs week here on WGR.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.